sempre fa calare dal mare bene. Se ci picchia bandi, se è baccalare, picchia me.
Hi, this is Gerald Celente, and it's Trends This Week. And what a week it is, and what a week it was. And thanks for tuning in. So much going on. And of course, you know, on most people's minds, of course, is the economy. And things aren't going well at all. As we all know, to tune in to Gary Null and the people that he has on his show and our subscribers and listeners to Trends Research, Trends Journal, Trend Alerts, Trends This Week, and Trends in the News. It's no recovery. It's a cover-up. And you look at what's going on as we speak with the Dow Jones. It was up today, and it was down 150. And now it's down 52. And last Friday, it was up 400 points. And then yesterday, it was down some 300 points. And you look at the wild ride in oil. 2 days ago, oil, Monday and Tuesday, down. Brent and West Texas, 11%. Today, it's up on average 3.25% between West Texas and Brent. And why? Well, the Russians are talking with the OPEC people about cutting production. Well, they could cut production, but it's not going to do much because it's a global slowdown and there's too much supply. So looking at the equity markets, the gold, by the way, is up some $11 to $11.38.50. And as we've been saying on Trends This Week, and of course in our Trends Journal and Trend Alerts, we've been saying we're bullish on gold. And we don't give financial advice. We're trend forecasters. This is the way we see it. And, you know, and the motto of the Trends Research Institute is think for yourself. So we're not telling anybody what to believe or what to do. So in looking at gold, when you look at the equity markets around the world, you have Japan, China, England, France, all in bear market territory, meaning they're down over 20%. And then you look at the United States market, that's year-to-date, by the way. It's down. U.S. markets are down on average 10%. That's correction territory. It's below their 52-week intraday highs. And you look at the, you know, the start of the year, and overall, with the U.S. markets, they're down 7%. And when you look at the China's indexes, they're down some 16% since the start of 2016. And then again, oil prices are down. Everything is down except gold. Gold's now near a three-month high. And this is what we've been saying all along, is that it's a safe haven commodity. When all else fails, gold is that commodity that's been around, you know, since the written word, and probably before, being traded. And what's going on, as I mentioned, you saw last Friday the U.S. equity markets go up some 400 points. Now, you know why they went up 400 points? It wasn't on the news that fourth quarter GDP barely went up. in the United States, 0.7%. No, no. That's not what boosted the market up some almost 400 points. Now, it wasn't the news that durable good orders, you know, these are things you buy that last, they fell 5.1%. That's right, minus 5.1%. Now, the markets didn't go up on that news. Now, the markets didn't go up on the lousy purchasing managers index. No, no, that wasn't what pushed the markets up. What pushed the markets up was the news coming out of Japan that they're now going to institute negative interest rates. That's right. Minus 0.1 negative interest rate. So in the banks, big banks put money, big people put money into their banks, and they charge them to keep it there, and the central banks. And what they're doing is they're using this as a tool, they say, to stimulate the economy. But of course, it's not. What it's doing is it's stimulating the equity markets, because at these zero interest rates, negative interest rate policy, the big guys, the merger and acquisition cats, they could do more mergers and acquisitions and stock buybacks because they're borrowing money for nothing. That's right. And a neo-feudal society that we have now, where the elite have different laws and are treated differently than we, the little people, it makes perfect sense. Because we, the little people, now when we put our money in the banks, we get nothing in return. And now, in different countries like Denmark and Switzerland, and other places around Europe, you have to pay to put your money in the banks. I'm not making this up. It's negative interest rates and negative yields on bonds. Some 25% of all the bonds issued are paying negative yields. That means, you know, I really like you. You're a nice guy or woman. And because I like you so much, here's the deal. You loan me money. And then when I pay you back in a couple of years, I'm going to pay you back less than you loaned me. And you look at me and say, what are you, out of your mind? And I'd say to you, how dare you question me? Don't you know who I am? I'm the central banksters. I make up the rules and you obey them. It's a neo-feudal society. We're doing this so we could enrich the rich to make them richer. 62 people, as you know, now own more dough than half the world's population combined. That's right. Have more money than 3.5 billion people combined. 62 people. Negative interest rates. All this does with the quantitative easing, negative interest rates, it inflates the equity markets and merger and acquisition activity. Big companies buying out everybody else so you could become a worker in Slavelandia for one of the big multinationals. So, let's go back to negative interest rates. The market goes up some 400 points on the news that the Bank of Japan's president announced that they're going to institute negative interest rates. Now, let's play this back a little bit more. Go back to near the about third week of January. And they had that meeting over there in Davos, that World Economic Forum, where those 62 richest people and prime ministers and presidents and chancellors and all those important people meet. So it's no conspiracy theory. It's nothing going on behind closed doors. There they are. Oh, what they're saying is behind closed doors. But we know that they're meeting. And by coincidence, let's go back to that week of January 21st. At that meeting was Ray Dalio of Bridgewater Associates. Yeah, one of the world's largest hedge funds. Oh, you know what hedge funds are, don't you? Those are gamblers who know how to play the markets. Yep. And get paid a lot of money to do it. Gamblers, hedge funds. They create nothing other than wealth. They don't build anything. They don't manufacture anything. They don't sell anything. They do deals. That's all it is. So, Ray Dalio makes a comment to the effect that the markets are doing terribly now. This is on a Wednesday. They're doing terribly. And that it's time for the central banks, particularly the Fed in the United States and others, for more quantitative easing. The very next day, Mario Draghi, again, a central banker from the European Central Bank, former head of the Goldman Sachs gang's European division. Yes, the man that brought Greece into the Euro group, that's what trades the currency, when they weren't qualified. That Mario Draghi, a Goldman Sachs guy, now ECB president, also at Davos, announces the next day, yep, well, folks, looks like when we meet in March, we're going to discuss whether or not we should have some more quantitative easing, more stimulus, and the market shoot up again, reversed where everything was going down, they came up again. Remember, that's last week. Excuse me, the week of January 21st. And then on Friday, it's announced by the president of the Bank of Japan, Governor Kuroda, that Japan's going to have negative interest rates. But here's the rub. Just 1 week before, he addressed Congress, Japanese parliament. And he announced that the Bank of Japan had no plans to adopt negative rates. He said that just before he jumped on that airplane and went to, see if you can figure it out, Davos. Dalio, Davos, Draghi, negative interest rates, the prime ministers, ministers, cabinet ministers, presidents, chancellors, hedge fund guys, richest 62 in the world, all in one spot. And all of a sudden, he announces this past Friday, Kuroda does, the head of the Bank of Japan, that they're imposing negative interest rates. You think the game is rigged? I mean, who wouldn't, anybody that has a brain between their ears can understand what just happened. The biggest hedge fund operator in the world complains there needs more negative interest rates. Now, excuse me, more stimulus. At the Davos meeting, Draghi at the Davos meeting then announces more stimulus on the way when they meet in March. Markets go up. Markets go down. Bank of Japan head announces negative interest rates. And this is after he told Parliament that there was no plans to adopt negative rates. How about calling the guy a little lying SOB? How about calling him a piece of garbage?
No, call him the governor of the Bank of Japan. And don't forget to salute when he walks down the red carpet with the presidents and the other important people. How about calling liars liars and thieves thieves? Oh, that's not politically correct. You know, political correctness, I was just thinking, it's the flip side of an Ozzie and Harriet world. Like, I grew up in the 50s, you know, everything was proper white. You know, you didn't, you know, have this image, this fake image, this Ozzie and Harriet, Leave It to Beaver, you know, Father Knows Best image of America. Black and white, TV, and black and white thinking. And politically correctness is just the other element of that. The politically correctness is the left side of the right side of Ozzie and Harriet. Don't say anything that might be offensive. You know, don't call liars liars. Let's be more proper. You know, nobody's a loser, everybody's a winner. Give those kids trophies. You know, all the stupid little junk. So anyway, people will not call out the people that they should be condemning. And as we look at the markets again around the world, you look what happened last night over there in Japan. I mentioned how bad the markets are, and they were down 3%. The Shanghai index was way, way down. At the end of the night, it pushed up, or the end of the day over there, end of the night over here. It went up. It was down only about 10 points. But when you look at the graph, and anybody can do this, you go on and just, you know, put in Shanghai index and look at the graphs, the composite, and you can see at the end of the day, all of a sudden the markets spike up. They have a thing called the plunge protection team. And in the United States, it's the plunge protection team, which when the stock markets go down, they either have circuit breakers or they start buying up stocks to push them the levels higher. In China, they call it the national team. And you can see what happens. Right at near the end of the trading day, the national team comes in and they're from the government. And they start with government money, start buying up the stocks to push up the markets, even though they're going down. Capitalism is dead. You know, one of the sites I like going to, great information, is the World Socialist website, WSWS. Great analysis. But at the end of it, they always blame the failures of what's going on capitalism. And if only, you know, the working people were in charge kind of line. You know, so that's their take, fine, it's not mine. This is not capitalism. Let's all grow up about this. It's fascism, it's the merger of state and corporate powers. Four words killed capitalism, and everybody knows what they are. Too big to fail. Too big to fail. In capitalism, there is no such thing as too big to fail. So, when you look at what's going on, as I mentioned, these plunge protection teams, national teams, all they're doing is rigging the markets. No ifs, ands, or buts. It's right there for anyone to look at. The facts don't lie, the liars do. Which, by the way, brings us to our trend alert that we put out today to our subscribers. And it's about the economy. And the headline is Recovery or Recession? Facts and Fiction. What's next? And it begins with, at his State of the Union address just 2 weeks ago, President Obama declared that the United States of America, this is a quote, right now has the strongest, most durable economy in the world. And then El Presidente went on to condemn any disbelievers by saying, quote, anyone claiming that America's economy is in decline is peddling fiction. So, of course, we went on to break down, Yep, he's right. You know, at this point, right now, America has the strongest, most durable economy in the world. But compared to who in the world? Those emerging markets that are collapsing along with commodity prices? Those other nations like Russia, Brazil, and resource-rich countries, whether they're developed countries or developing nations, emerging market nations, that are rich in resources, that are now suffering as commodity prices slump and their exports go down with them, and they have high unemployment, high inflation. Oh, yeah, the United States is doing a lot better than they are. And the dollar is stronger than most other currencies. But not because the dollar is so strong, because of what's going on here, only because the other economies are so weak. And inflation is skyrocketing. Their currencies are collapsing because business stinks and they're deep in debt. So when you look at Obama's statement and you really break it apart, he's correct on one level, but he's wrong on saying that anyone claiming that America's economy is in decline is peddling fiction. Because the facts are, again, look at the GDP numbers. 0.7% growth. Since the recession, by the way, the Great Recession began, we're looking on average of about 2% growth per year. That is not strong growth. And then you look at the other facts that 95% of the wealth, 95% of the wealth since the Federal Reserve began its quantitative easing and zero interest rate policy around 2009, 95% of the wealth has gone to 1% of the people. So Obama's view of the economy begins and ends at Wall Street. That's as far as he can see. Or maybe that's as far as he wants to look. Because, hey, you know, he's going down to his final months, and maybe like Clinton's, you know, the Wall Street white shoe boys will hire Obama and give him $300,000 an hour to BS like Clinton does. Clinton's do, I should say. I mean, you can get Clinton's BS for free all day long. You got to pay him $300,000 for talking for 1 hour. And the same BS that we hear for free. It's called payback. So what Obama is failing to look at are the real facts. And the real facts are that 51% of the American people that are employed are earning under $30,000 a year. What Obama's ignoring is that when adjusted for inflation, median household income is down to 1999 levels. What Obama fails to mention and criticizes people like myself of peddling fiction is that the labor force participation rate is down to 1970s levels. And that's when you didn't have as many women in the workforce as you do now. So when you put that number into it, compounded, it's even worse than that. And what El Presidente also didn't say is how home ownership is suffering down to 1960s levels. Hey, but rentals are way up. Gee, I wonder why. Well, it couldn't be because people can't afford to buy homes, could it? No, they just like living in apartments and paying more money to do it, even though they can afford to buy their own place. So we really know the facts here. Millennials' home ownership fade. U.S. society, American dream. This is from yesterday's Financial Times headline. Big story. Third of those aged 18 to 34 live with their parents. Again, this is new news now but old news when you forecast trends and provide history before it happens. In my book, Trends 2000, which I wrote in 1996, came out in January December of 96, Warner book, national bestseller, 17 different languages. I wrote about the re-extended family. That's what I called it back then, showing how wages would continue to decline as multinationals got bigger and less opportunities for entrepreneurs, no mom and pop, his and hers, hers and his and his shops would be able to open and compete against the multinationals. And how more manufacturing jobs would be exported because of NAFTA. Remember, NAFTA only happened in the early 90s. That famous debate with Ross Perot and Al Gore. Al Gore, of course, the champion of NAFTA, and Ross Perot opposed to it. So I knew that wages would decline along with job opportunities as they bragged about us becoming a service sector society and getting rid of all those dirty manufacturing jobs. Because at one time, those manufacturing jobs used to pay a living wage. And people were able to buy their own homes. So we knew that was going to happen. U.S. home ownership rate among those aged 18 to 34, who represent the population's biggest age group, is at its lowest level since 1982. Terrible recession back in 1982. I remember it well. The dearth, now this is their language, the dearth of millennials home buyers is a puzzle for economists. A puzzle? What economists are you talking to? The jobs stink. Hey, those millennials, right? They went to college, a lot of them. And now on average, they're in debt by over $30,000. And that's on the low end. College debt over $30,000, $100,000. Well, I heard Bernie Sanders the other night after the Iowa caucuses give his speech saying, you know, I hear from people saying they're $80,000, $90,000 in debt. They go, Bernie, Bernie, I went to college. I'm $80,000, $90,000 in debt. And I can't find a job. And Bernie, of course, says, well, when I get elected, we're going to get rid of that debt. And the way we're going to do it is we're going to tax Wall Street. Yay! Look, I've been writing about Wall Street forever and how they're robbing the nation. But who told you to get $80,000, $90,000 in debt? Anybody twist your arm? Oh, I know. They put a gun to your head. No, maybe they sent you to Guantanamo. They tortured you into taking that debt to get a degree in worthlessness. You want a degree in art history? Knock yourself out. It's great. Wonderful. Gender studies, terrific. Whatever you want to do, English major, great. History major, wonderful stuff. What are you going to do with it when you graduate? I'm going to get a degree in business administration. I got a degree in business administration. Oh, you know what? I remember Economics 101. Hardly. I didn't understand a thing they were talking about, but I know one thing. They never talked about negative interest rates. And they never talked about negative bond yields. Because no such thing had ever happened in the history of the world. Part one or part two. Oh, and by the way, I talked about negative interest rates. Now they're pushing out trial balloons from the Federal Reserve and the members on negative interest rates for the United States. That's right. So going back to the lack of opportunities and why millennials can't afford homes, the deep debt they're in. And again, all Bernie Sanders is doing is, you know, he's just playing the populist card with no real plans to do anything. And his track record as a war hawk speaks for itself, which he never speaks about. He condemns it, but supported it. Supported the overthrow of Gaddafi, supports the overthrow of Assad, supports Israel's treatment of Palestinians, supported Bill Clinton's destruction of Yugoslavia, the Bosnian-Serbian wars. You know, so you don't hear him talking about cutting back the military. He's just this, and we're going to tax Wall Street. Yeah, okay. That's going to solve everything. So when you look again at the facts and where America is in the economy, and listening to what President Obama is saying, declaring that anyone claiming that America economy is in decline is peddling fiction, it's Obama that's peddling fiction. Just look at the facts. And we've added them up. And I just briefly added up some of them today. But in our Trends Journal, they're documented in chapter and verse. Now remember, yes, the United States is doing better than other countries, but not better than Germany, not better than a lot of other places. And the dollar is strong, as I said, because other currencies are so weak because of the terrible conditions that are going on with the markets and commodities. So what are the implications of what I've been talking about? Well, the implications are this. From the Cape of Good Hope to Cape Horn, millions of migrants are going to be escaping collapsing economies and social unrest. You look, for example, in Venezuela. Argentina devalued their currency. Venezuela's economy is destroyed. They have a 200% inflation rate. Brazil's in a recession, the worst since the early 1900s. In Africa, you have the South African rand has hit an all-time low against the dollar, along with the ruble, along with the Colombian and Mexican peso. So all these countries, Nigeria now and Azerbaijan, of course Azerbaijan's not in Africa, but those are two oil-rich countries that are now going broke, and they're going to the World Bank to get bailouts. What we're saying is there's going to be a flood of migrants, which are different than refugees, going north. North out of Africa, into Europe, and north out of South America, into North America, as their economies decline. And for the political implications, it's really becoming a disaster in many European countries. We're getting reports continually. They can't cope with it. You're looking at a country like Macedonia, for example. 2 million people. A Macedonia used to be Yugoslavia before Bill Clinton decided it should not be part of Yugoslavia. 2 million people and bombed it along with slaughtering thousands of innocent people and destroying the country. Former Yugoslavia, what it was made up of. 2 million people, they had 1 million refugees and migrants flooding through last year. How do you control it? You can't. Now, the migrant crisis, of course, is coming from the economic end and these corrupt governments that are failing, whether it's in Congo, Nigeria, Niger, Ghana, South Africa, all these resource-rich countries that are now struggling because commodity prices are so low, exports have plummeted, currencies are crashing, social unrest, people flooding into Europe, combined with the refugees. And that's a different story. Refugees are people escaping countries that have been bombed into oblivion and destroyed by the United States and its coalition of the killing. Libya, Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, to name a few. And this is never talked about. You don't hear it in the so-called political debates. Not a peep about it. Who caused these problems? Who created the conditions for, quote, radical Islamists? It couldn't be because you killed over a million people in Iraq, estimated well over a million in Afghanistan. You're destroying entire countries because you don't like who's running the joint? So if everybody you loved, friends and family, were just killed by foreigners, your entire country is destroyed, your cities are in rubble, you have no future in front of you, you think you'd become, quote, radical, meaning you want to pay back the people that destroyed you? And as we used to say in the Bronx, payback's a bitch. Boy, and talking about payback being a bitch, not to jump the subject, but part of it, Bill Clinton. Oh, yeah, the mass murderer. The mass murderer who destroyed Yugoslavia. The mass murderer. You remember those no-fly zones over Iraq? Oh, forgot about those, huh? Yeah, during his 8 years as El Presidente. Oh, you forgot about those sanctions that he imposed upon Iraq under when Hussein was in power. And Madeleine Albright, his Secretary of State, on CBS with Leslie Stahl, 60 Minutes. And Leslie Stahl asked, Secretary Albright, was the death of over 500,000 children in Iraq, according to the United Nations, who died because of sanctions, not being able to get medicine or food or treatment. Was that price worth the sanctions? And Madeleine Albright, of course, said, yes, it was. Yeah, that Bill Clinton, the murderer. And Madeleine, not that Albright. Anyway, boy, did you see him at the when Hillary was giving her address at the end of the Iowa caucus? Man, talking about payback being a bitch. Whew, that guy looked like old wrinkled paper, man. It'll go right through him. Anyway, migrants, refugees, global destruction by mass murderers, megalomaniacs, psychopaths, and sociopaths called presidents, prime ministers, and chancellors. Put that on top of a declining global economy, and what do you have? A global recession with social unrest leading to a time and a place that is setting us up for the next world war, which we, of course, called the last world war, because it will be fought when they asked Einstein, Albert Einstein, how will the Third World War be fought? With what weapons? He said, I don't know what weapons they'll use in the Third World War, but in the Fourth they'll use sticks and stones. And that's what this is being set up for. Because when you listen to the presidential debates and you listen to the rhetoric, all it is beating the war drums. Here's Trump just yesterday. If we're attacked, we'll beat the S. I can't say the word. Not allowed to say. Got to be proper. Got to be politically correct. We'll beat the S. And then it ends with a T and has an H-I in between it. Out of them. Yep. And he said, we're going to stop playing games. Yep. What kind of tough talk? Trump. What a joke. Again, you look at the cover. You go to our website, trendsresearch.com, and look at the trends journals, and go back to our April 2015 trends journal. Look at the cover. Liars, cowards, freaks, and fools, welcome to the Presidential Reality Show. We were so sure of that, we even trademarked the name. And that was months before Trump announced he was going to become a contestant. It was a presidential reality show then, and now you have a true reality show champion leading the pack, Donald Trump. And all they're doing is talking about war and beating their war drums louder and louder and louder, and the hypocrisy of it all. You know, I listened again, you know, I got to watch this stuff, you know, and you hear the words coming out of their mouths, and it's just astounding what hypocrites and mass murderers they are as they keep using, you know, they keep using the name of the word of God in vain, as you hear Rubio and Cruz, you know, thanking God for his victory and the Savior Jesus Christ for watching over me, and on and on and on, one line after another. One line after another, and then they talk about, you know, if I get elected, you know, I'm going to carpet bomb the joint. If I get elected, you know, I'm going to build the biggest military in the world. Yeah, this was Ted Cruz's. Let me be the first to say, to God be the glory. Thank you, all-powerful and almighty God. That, those were his words for thanking God for him winning. You think God had anything to do with him winning the caucus in Iowa? God loves carpet bombers. That's right. That's what Teddy says. I get elected president, we're going to carpet bomb them till the sand glows. Yeah, right up God's alley. What God you talking about? Save your God stories for somebody else. And Rubio, thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as he vows to build the largest military in the world and degrade and destroy anybody that gets in our way. These little boys couldn't fight their way out of a paper bag, by the way. You think Rubio's going to send his kids? Is he going to go lead the charge? Like Obama, the Peace Prize winner. We should call the Nobel Peace Prize a piece of crap. Yeah, you remember that troop surge of Obama's, right? You forgot that, huh? In Afghanistan. Yeah, Helmand Province. Now taken over by Taliban. Or as he likes to call them, Taliban. Hey, Mr. Taliban, tally me banana. Oh, that was Harry Belafonte. I got it mixed up. Yeah. The mass murderer Obama with his drone strikes, who's always, you know, God bless America, God bless our tree. What God are you talking about? You're killing innocent people with your drone strikes that are against international law. Oh, they're suspected militants. We'll kill anybody suspected that we don't like and anybody that gets in their way. Too bad. We are the exceptionals. And they say this stuff. And they get away with it. Using God's name in vain. Obama, you slaughtered how many people in Libya? With Gaddafi has to go? How about Assad? Yeah, supporting them, quote, moderate rebels. You've seen them and they were all over the place. Well, we had one over for lunch the other day. You know what a moderate rebel looks like? Do they wear suits? Maybe hoodies. Who knows? We never see any of them. It's fiction. They're supporting murderers, overthrowing a sovereign government. Syria is one of the most stable countries in the Middle East. Thriving middle class compared to any of the others. Great vacation place for a lot of people to view its historic sites that say so much about what civilization went through. Now destroyed. Destroyed by people like Obama, these others that keep wanting to bomb people. So the other thing, you know, that, you know, I'm listening to, watching these debates and on CNN. I'm not making this up. This is a quote from, like, the top reporter over there. Everybody is at the edge of their seats waiting for Donald Trump to give his speech. What is he going to say? Everybody's at the edge of their seats? Grow up! Who are you talking to? Well, I'm a prostitute. We talk like that because we bow to our masters. Hey, did you see that report that just came out from Germany? From one of the top guys in the media who just resigned? Yeah. So right on the air in Berlin, he said they get pressured from the government to say and cover the stories that they want them to and to say what they want to say. Think it's any different here? So, you know, I was sitting at the edge of my seat. I was sitting back in it. Actually, I was laying on the couch. But when I was told to sit at the edge of my seat, I jumped up, got in the seat, and sat right at the edge, waiting for Donald Trump to come out and talk. And here's how he opened his talk. Thank you. I love you, people. I love you, people. Thank you. Unbelievable. I have to start by saying that I absolutely love the people of Iowa. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. You know, you notice, by the way, he always repeats himself. I don't know if it's a trick, you know, an apprentice reality show trick to keep repeating yourself. But regardless of this, what I just read, he does it all the time. I love you, people. I love you, people. Thank you, thank you. Unbelievable. 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 Three times unbelievables. Two thank yous. I love you, people. I love you, people. I absolutely love the people of Iowa. And this is just one sentence, you know, two sentences. So he always does this, regardless of the issue he's talking about. So it's either a marketing trick, you know, a TV reality show scheme, or he's too stupid to have a deep thought and just keeps repeating himself, or some kind of, mental condition. I love the people of Iowa. What do you love? Iowa? Iowa? Where is this joint? Oh, that place out there where they grow all that GMO corn? Oh, that's what you love? And he gets away with it, as the rest of them do. I love the people of Iowa. Do you have sex with them? What are you talking about? You love them. Why do you love them? What makes the people of Iowa so great? Oh, a third of them about evangelicals. Is that what you like so much? I mean, not that I'm condemning evangelicals, but what is it that you like so much about them? Tell me. They grow corn, they're evangelical. What is it? And by the way, that's why Cruz won. It's the evangelical vote. No secret. We wrote about that. Again, go back to your Trends Journal in the spring, April of 2015. We highlighted the Iowa caucus and showed how the Republican candidates would keep going toward the evangelical edge so that the first person out could win. And it's Cruz. And if you think it's important, it's not that he won. Anybody hear of Rick Santorum or Huckabee? They won Iowa too. And A is nothing in a presidential race. Matter of fact, Huckabee just dropped out. And of course, Trump made the point of saying what great friends him and Huckabee became. And here's how Trump closed out. Iowa, we love you. We thank you. You're special. Oh, yeah, it's like those people that have, you know, my kids are special and amazing.
I guess those Iowans are too. Or Iowa.
We will be back many, many times. In fact, I think I might come back here and buy a farm. I love it, okay? Yay! Rah!
And old McDonald had a farm, yep.
Whew!
It's the Presidential Reality Show. It's a freak show. Liars, cowards, freaks, and frauds. You listen to every one of the speeches. Nothing about a real plan to do anything. All they do is hit the buzzwords. Listening to Marco Rubio reminded me of being in Gorton High School in Yonkers and listening to this kid that wanted to run for class president. He says absolutely nothing. Other than, you know, throwaway lines. Nothing. No plans. None of them do. There's no economic strategies. And Bernie Sanders, you know, I'm going to tax everybody. Tax the rich. I'm all in favor of taxing the rich. I'd like to go back to the program that Eisenhower had. You know, with these guys like Buffett's and the other billionaires, they, Gates and Zuckerberg, the rest, they should be taxed at 90% tax rate, like they did when Eisenhower was in. What do you have? 400 people in the United States are worth $2.5 trillion? Yeah, tax them like crazy. But that's not going to grow the economy. I'm totally in favor of raising the tax rate. But that's not going to boost the economy, and none of the candidates are talking about plans on how to do it. To make America a self-sustaining economy is the answer. But that's beyond them, and that's a whole long discussion on how it's done. But the first way it's done is you put back into place laws that prohibited countries like China, Vietnam. Hey, remember Vietnam, one of our great trading partners now? Yeah, we got to get them commies over there. If we don't stop them there, before you know it, those dominoes will fall and they'll hit the shores of California. Yeah, the Vietnam War. The United States only killed 3 million then. Destroyed the nation, poisoned people with Agent Orange, still suffering from it. But now they're our great trading partner because we could use their slave labor, get our stuff manufactured over there, buy them Nike sneakers, put them on, pay a lot of money for them so they can make a lot of dough over here. You don't even have manufacturers anymore. All they do is outsource everything. So making a self-sustaining economy is putting laws back into place that prohibited this kind of raping of civilizations around the world. It's another form of slavery. It's better than slavery. The plantation owner doesn't have to take care of the slaves. Just pay them enough to take care of yourself. Barely. And after you get too old, like by your late 20s, and you can't produce like you used to, get out of here. And you're left with nothing. It's different. It's Slavelandia. A different form of slavery. That's all it is. So, none of them are talking about a path to prosperity. All they're doing is talking about is a path of war. The war path. Not a peep about peace from any of them. No real strategies. Our forecast to 2016, as it's going right now for the Presidential Reality Show, whoever wins, once again, we lose. My campaign slogan for 2016, Clinton or Trump? Hillary or Hitler? And she's playing, she calls herself a progressive. Yeah, you progressed really well in destroying Libya, didn't you? Assad has to go. And again, anybody could go on the webs, on the YouTube and look up Hillary Clinton, CBS, when they asked her,
How did you feel when you found out Muammar Gaddafi was killed, the leader of Libya? And she straightens herself up, puts on a big, broad smile. We came. We saw. He died. They should have taken her out in a straitjacket. So when I say Hitlery, and considering all the people that her husband slaughtered, I mean it. And Trump, want to talk about him, egomaniac? I'm watching, by the way, on Bloomberg, they were interviewing his boys, and I only caught a part of it, and they're bragging about how their dad's a self-made man. Self-made man? His old man left him a real estate empire. A reported $200 million to $400 million. Reports that when he was in college in his senior year, his father gave him $2 million to invest in apartments in Philadelphia. $2 million, 1969, a kid in his early 20s in college. $2 million, it's like what, the $20 million today. Who gets that kind of money? And brags about being a self-made man? Again, born on third base and thought he hit a triple. He's a self-made comedian, megalomaniac, reality show champion. And he may be the next president of the United States. And why not? Can't condemn him. What makes him any worse than Obama? The liar in chief. Hey, maybe he's going to close Guantanamo, huh? And one lie after another, raping us of our constitutional Bill of Rights. Bush, mass murderer, starting wars on lies, should be brought up for war crime tribunals. Bush's, Clinton's, Obama's, Trump's. Why not? America's exceptional, as they all say it. We got exceptional psychopaths and megalomaniacs running us, but not a lot worse than the Camerons or the Hollands or the Sarkozys. So anyway, that's what we got. A lot shaping up, a lot going on. This is Gerald Celente. That's some of today's Trends in the News.